From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Radio Times. I'm Tracy Matisak, in for Marty Moscowain. Flu season may be over, but the debate over paid sick leave is not. Just last week, Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter vetoed a bill that would provide just that for about 180,000 workers, saying the bill would hurt the very people it's designed to help. City Council has until Thursday to override that veto, and in the unlikely event that that would happen, Philadelphia would then join the ranks of cities like Seattle, San Francisco, and Portland, where workers do earn paid sick leave. So this hour, we're talking about the politics of paid sick leave and what it would mean for workers as well as business owners. We'll hear from the advocacy group Pathways PA, and we'll be hearing from Marianne Bellasorte, who is representing them. It's a coalition of 110 organizations. We will also be hearing from William Dunkelberg, who is a professor emeritus at Temple and represents the National Federation of Independent Business. We'll hear from both of them a little bit later in the program, but we begin with Randy Labasso, whose recent article in Salon called it the next liberal litmus test. Randy is a staff writer for the Philadelphia Weekly, where he's been writing about this issue since 2011. Randy, welcome to Radio Times.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So explain what you meant by that. You called paid sick leave the next liberal litmus test. What did you mean by that?
Well, you know, over the last few years, at least since 2006, this issue has really been coming up a lot in a lot of municipalities, and especially with Democratic lawmakers. It is first passed in what we might call very liberal cities, places like San Francisco, Seattle, but it's actually moved on to other cities that aren't considered as liberal, but have a base of Democratic support, places like Milwaukee, and of course Philadelphia. You know, a bill has been passed twice now in Philadelphia. Of course, vetoed twice as well.
Yeah. Would it be safe to say that it's garnering bipartisan support, that Republicans are getting on board with this as well at this point?
Well, Republican lawmakers have not gotten on board. There are some polls that suggest there is Republican support amongst the populace, amongst the voting public, of course. But I have not seen any prominent Republicans really jump on this yet.
Do you anticipate that this issue, because it seems to be gaining steam, could become an issue even in the 2016 presidential race?
I think so. There are bills in the U.S. House and U.S. Senate. Nancy Pelosi, the House Minority Leader, recently came out in support of it. John Podesta, the head of the Center for American Progress, recently spent a good amount of time in front of some Democratic lawmakers and liberal leaders talking it up. I don't think there's any doubt that this is going to be an issue that a lot of liberals and Democrats are going to get on.
Yeah. How about New York? New York just passed legislation of this type, within the last week or so. How significant is New York's decision for other cities in the country?
Well, as far as I know, New York has not yet passed the bill, but Speaker Quinn, who has been blocking it for the last 3 years, actually came to an agreement with labor in that city to allow the bill to at least come up for a vote. And it's pretty well known that it is going to pass in New York City's city council by a veto-proof majority, even though Mayor Michael Bloomberg is also against the bill.
And that's an interesting case, isn't it? Because Quinn, as you pointed out, has been against the idea of paid sick leave for a number of years, but found herself in a position of sort of having to get on board with it.
Right. Well, she is she's officially announced her candidacy for mayor to replace Michael Bloomberg. And polls show in New York City about 87% support this. It's not something she was going to be able to get around.
How influential, then, do you think New York might be? Assuming that this does pass, what could that mean for other cities that are now considering sick leave legislation?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I think, of course, New York would be at the biggest city to have passed it, should that happen. But at the same time, New York is, I think, around the country known as a place that passes, let's say, interesting legislation, you know, with this with the soda stuff and here and there, you know. So it would, of course, be a huge win for advocates, I think. But it's hard to say, really, you know, from my point of view, if it would actually change public opinion drastically around the country.
Yeah. One of the industries that we hear about so often in connection with the idea of paid sick leave is the restaurant industry. Why is that? Why is that sort of used as an example in favor, typically, of paid sick leave?
Well, I mean, the most obvious reason would be that they're working with our food, you know. Restaurant workers are known as most of them work by the hour. Most of them work are low-wage workers. You know, of course, waiters get tipped minimum wage, which is substantially lower than the regular minimum wage. And I think people just have a problem knowing that if a restaurant worker is sick, that they won't get paid for taking a day off. And when they come in, they could have the flu. You know, of course, we just went through a flu season. And they could be coughing all over our food, you know, sneezing on our food. It's just, it's not the best thing to think about when you're at a restaurant, I guess.
Well, and in the restaurant industry, as well as some others, there is also that idea of trading shifts, right, which is one way of addressing that issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's when I've talked to business advocates, that is one thing that many of them have said to me. Restaurant workers are used to trading shifts, and that's just the reality of the situation, and that is really how it works. And as I have been told, it works fine today. Why wouldn't it work fine tomorrow?
We know that business owners are concerned, obviously, for financial reasons about this. But in your research, what might be some potential benefits? I mean, we'll talk with Bill Dunkelberg about this momentarily, but what are some benefits to business owners who might sign on to this, whether it's voluntary or not?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, first off, I mean, I've talked to a lot of business leaders, and there is definitely something to be said for having to budget this paid sick leave into each year of budgeting, and that's just a reality of running a business. But at the same time, there are some studies which have shown that that when employees have paid sick leave, they are more likely to stay with that company. There's less turnaround of employees, and I, of course, you know, the restaurant industry sees a lot of turnaround, mm-hmm. And that could potentially work in favor economically for businesses.
Is there research on employees abusing sick leave, maybe just taking it at will and really taking advantage of the full amount? Certainly there are those who don't use their sick time, but on the other hand, there are those who might use it for any number of things. Is there any research on that?
There isn't any that I have seen, but of course, you know, and something that business leaders have told me is that it's in human nature to want to abuse something like this.
Isn't there also, Randy, a movement among some organizations to set it up so that states could eventually override a municipality's decision to go with paid sick leave?
Yeah, there is, and it actually has already happened. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, actually passed a paid sick leave bill by voter referendum, and it passed with 69% of voters in favor of paid sick leave. Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, after coming into office, actually signed a bill that would that voided municipalities from passing such legislation. And that particular bill, excuse me, was later handed out at the American Legislative Exchange Council conference in 2011 as model legislation to stop things like this from happening.
What are we talking about briefly? In terms of cost to employers, what are the big concerns for business owners?
Well, like we said before, you know, the idea that an employee may take advantage of that. The other thing, I think, is just that employers would have to budget that out, you know, and not all, it would affect businesses other than restaurants, where, you know, a restaurant, if you take off as a waiter, then that restaurant is losing, $20, you know, if in tip minimum wage. Other businesses that pay their employees a lot more than that would have to budget, you know, for all those employees, you know, to spend, they would have to spend a lot more money,
you know. Randy, given the fact that the idea seems to be gaining steam, that voters certainly have seemed to be in favor of it, do you think that this is more of a when than an if, that at some point we're really going to see this happening on a large scale?
That's hard to say. You know, like I said, that, you know, there is legislation, there is federal legislation, but it's just that, I guess, I would have to say that's out of my pay grade to actually say that this is a inevitable.
Yeah, I know that you have not spoken with all the city council members as we're looking toward next Thursday to see what would happen. Do you have a gut feeling about where things might go on Thursday, whether council would in fact override the mayor's veto here in Philadelphia?
I know it's definitely possible. You know, we are, the council is one vote away from that override. They have 11 votes. There was one city council member who last fall actually said at a conference with the, or it was a luncheon with the Restaurant Opportunity Center, he said he was almost there on this bill. This was Jim Kenney. It was a pretty funny moment because Bill Greenlee was also there, the sponsor of the bill, and he pulled the bill out of his jacket pocket, and he said, "Well, I got it right here if you want to sign it."
And we can make that happen right now.
Right, exactly. And of course, Kenny was one of the no votes. Other than him, you know, there's a lot of city council members have support of labor, and labor is behind this bill. So I wouldn't necessarily count anyone out.
Yeah. What are you then going to be watching for in the coming weeks and months, even if this is if there is no override of the veto? What should we be looking for as far as news goes as it relates to paid sick leave?
Well, you know, once it actually goes through in New York City, that, you know, that's going to make headlines. New York Times has been reporting on it. The New York Daily News has been reporting on it for a while. But I think it would be interesting to see what happens in New York City. Portland has recently passed it, and you know, we should see if there's other state legislation coming up as well.
Randy Labasso, thank you so much for taking time to be with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
Randy has written for Salon and Philadelphia Weekly. Great to have you with us. We're talking about paid sick leave, and we'll be hearing about the pros and cons of that idea when Radio Times comes right back. Stay with us.
Widener University Law School supports WHYY. Widener Law offers flexible class scheduling through day and evening courses. Learning is reinforced with hands-on experience through clinics, practical skills training, and more. With a campus located in Delaware, the corporate capital, Widener Law is committed to offering a unique advantage. Learn more at law.widener.edu. That's law.widener.edu. Widener University Law School.
African Americans have always been part of the rich story of food in New Orleans, but celebrity chef John Besh wondered why so few people of color led the city's top restaurants.
I think it has often been seen as just a dead-end job.
Now he's helping minority kitchen workers move up the ranks. He tells us how next time on Tell Me More.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
P Antifa, a Kimmel Center production, supports WHYY and presents The Trial of Murderous Mary, April 11th through the 12th in the Kimmel Center's Hamilton Garden. Created by Philadelphia artists Aaron Cromie and Gwen Rooker, this darkly comic tale of circus life is told through macabre vignettes, shadow puppetry, original music, and visuals. The Trial of Murderous Mary critiques alarmists, rips irrationality, and explores mass hysteria. Sponsored by TD Bank. Tickets at PIFA.org. You're listening to Radio Times on WHYY. I'm Tracy Matisak, filling in for Marty Moss-Cohen. We are talking about paid sick leave. It was a big story in Philadelphia over the past week, really over the past month. City Council passed a bill approving paid sick leave. Mayor Nutter vetoed that bill last week, and now Council has the opportunity to override that veto this coming Thursday. We'll see how that shakes out. But the fact is, there are many cities around the country that are talking about this idea of paid sick leave. And we want to talk a little bit about the pros and cons and what's in it for workers, what is in it or not for business owners and business leaders. We'll be talking with William Dunkelberg, who is chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. He is also professor emeritus of economics at Temple University and co-founder and chairman of the board of Liberty Bank in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Welcome, Bill, to Radio Times.
Thanks, Tracy. Good to be here.
And Marianne Bellasorte is Senior Director of Public Policy and Media Relations for Pathways PA. She testified on behalf of the group supporting the bill. Marianne has been leading the Coalition for Healthy Families and Workplaces since 2009. Welcome, Marianne, to Radio Times. And if you've got questions for our guests, regardless of where you might come down on this issue, we invite you to join our conversation. The number is 888-477-9499 or WHYY. And speaking of calling in, we have Councilman Greenlee on the line to get us started with our discussion. Councilman, welcome to Radio Times.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Your comment or your question for our guests. I know that you are the sponsor of this bill. What would you like to say this morning?
Well, I guess the comment I had was that I think earned paid sick leave has been proven around the country that it does work, that it works to the benefit of the workers who get a little bit of time off, paid time off, and it also has proven, as all our research, that it's not hurt the businesses in the way that they fear. San Francisco, and I just got on here, so I don't know what else you've talked about, but San Francisco has, I think, is the best example. The concerns raised in San Francisco back in, I guess it was 2006, were very similar to what you're hearing in Philadelphia today, and yet they didn't, none of the fears, or very, very few of the fears, came to fruition. In fact, a lot of people who raise concerns are now supportive of the issue. So I think it's something that is beneficial to workers and not the negative that the business community believes it is.
Councilman, do you believe you have the votes to override at this point, or where are you in that process?
It's still a work in progress. The bill passed 11-6, and the mayor quickly vetoed it without much discussion. In fact, without any discussion with me. And we're working to try to get that 12th vote, and we're still hopeful. We're still hopeful. Yeah.
Do you think that the decision in New York, or at least the odds that it's going to pass in New York, will have an influence here in Philadelphia?
I would like to think so, because oftentimes some council members, including some who have not been positive on this bill, use New York City as an example of how they do things right there, and maybe we should look at New York City more. Well, you know, I think if you'd look at New York City now, as you said, they haven't officially done it yet, but it's clear that that the council there in New York has way more than enough votes, even if there is a veto by the mayor, to make paid sick leave, earned paid sick leave, the law in New York City. So, again, if I think they should look. If the largest city in the country can do it, I don't see why we can't.
Well, Councilman Bill Greenlee, thank you so much for joining us on Radio
Sure.
Times and helping us set the table for our discussion. We know you've got lots of calls to make and persuading to do. So
Okay.
We'll be watching this story, and we'll see what happens Thursday.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Good talking with you. All right. So we're talking with our guests, Marianne Bellasorte from Pathways PA, Bill Dunkelberg from the National Federation of Independent Business. The councilman has set set the table for us nicely for our discussion. Marianne, let me start with you. No doubt you will echo some of the things that the councilman said. Why is this a good idea for workers?
Earned sick days is incredibly important for a number of workers in Philadelphia. There are about 200,000 workers right now that have no access to earned sick days. And by giving them access to time that they can earn, we can make sure that they can continue to keep their jobs, keep their families secure, and at the same time save businesses money. It really is a win for workers, a win for employers, and a win for the city, who can save as much as $24 million in better public health outcomes, in reduced turnover, and in other things that will help our economy get better.
Hmm. Bill Dunkelberg, you are representing the business side of this conversation. Do you agree that paid sick time would indeed ultimately save money?
Well, we certainly haven't seen evidence of that. If, in fact, it really makes the business better and more profitable, I can't imagine that the small business owners out there wouldn't just go ahead and do it. So the point kind of is that's being made is that there's this chance to be more profitable and be more efficient, but nobody's taking it. I don't think that's really the case out there. We don't really have a lot of good evidence on things like turnover or whether or not you get healthier outcomes or any of these kinds of things. Every small business has somebody who gets sick, and they have ways of dealing with that. So you ask for a time off, you call in sick, you know, you arrange with the owner. Those kinds of flexibilities have always been there, and they get taken care of. It's undoubtedly true that if you mandate that everybody gets them, people are going to abuse them. We just don't know how much abuse there will be. But, you know, if you can take a day off and not lose any money, hello. You know, I mean, it's going to happen. Now, not all workers are going to do that, but it's an increased cost, because every time a worker does that, you have to hire another worker, especially if you're a small firm, to fill that spot. So it's like it's double cost for the time. Yeah. So whether or not the workers will actually choose to, you know, not come in when they feel sick, interesting question. We don't really know whether that's the case or not. We do know that the compliance costs for this bill are huge. You have all kinds of record keeping. You need to, if you have these language issues, I think are still in the bill that were in the one that I looked at back in 2011. But there's a lot of compliance costs, record keeping, and of course fines and all. So you got more people coming in and regulating your business. And if you look at NFIB's study on this, you know, the cost of useless regulation and red tape, you know, is the number two big significant problem for small business owners, following taxes, of course, which is number one, and then regulation and red tape is number two. And right now, of course, weak sales is a problem. So a lot of firms are very vulnerable. So I think, you know, that there certainly some people will benefit from this, but it's not very clear how big those benefits are going to be. The costs are clear, and they'll become clearer if we pass it. And look, you can only afford to pay a worker just so much money. That is, you can't pay workers more than the value they bring to the company. Otherwise, you go bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And by the way, last year, 750,000 firms went under because they couldn't make enough money, and losing us about 2.5 million jobs when they did. So, I mean, you know, why make it harder? Philadelphia already makes it pretty tough to be a small business with all the other kinds of taxes and stuff that we have. So this is just going to add to that. And if I do give you this benefit as an owner, I have to pay you less in take-home pay, because I can't just expand this indefinitely. I can't pay you more than the value you bring to the firm. So it's going to be a real can of worms, and it will be expensive, and it will be detrimental to employment, especially since somebody can, again, like we've always had the situation, you can set up outside of Philadelphia, and costs are a lot lower.
Marianne Belasorte, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. But Bill, let me just ask this question first. You did a study for the Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce looking at some of these issues. Can you give us just the highlights? What might businesses stand to lose financially through all of this? What were some of the key conclusions that you came to in that study?
Oh boy, you're asking me to remember the 2011 study with short notice. Well, we did expect that there would certainly be a reduction in employment. Those are hard to look at. So we just looked at how many people, you know, would be adversely affected. You're passing me
a copy
of my study. And maybe I'll look at it during the conversation because I brought my copy, too. I did print it out this morning. We had to estimate things like compliance costs. Well, how many more hours, in addition to all the other forms and things you have to fill out, will we now have to spend on this? And how much will it cost to put up all the posters of the right size and so on that you have to do? And how much will you actually have to replace workers who are taking time and may not need time? So the question is, how many more sick days will you actually get than you get now under the current system? And those, of course, are sick days that you have to pay for. You have to pay for the sick day and a replacement worker, especially if you're a small firm. So the costs are not inconsequential. And, you know, the most important asset a little firm has is the owner. And the more the owner's time we spend, you know, keeping records, which is what we make them do, the less time they have to pay attention to the business, which is the thing that we really want them to do. So let me scan those numbers that I did on the 2011 deal and see if I can map it into this bill, which is a little bit different. This bill is not quite as draconian as the one a couple of years ago, so I'm glad to see the exemption of the under five workers and now the hurdle cuts not at 10 but 20, and so there are some improvements there, but I'll try to see if I can get a number for you.
Let me invite our listeners to join our conversation. We're talking about paid sick leave and whether it is a good idea or not such a good idea, certainly for workers. Many are in favor of that idea. Business owners, not necessarily so much. The number to call is 888-477-9499. Marianne Bellasorte, Bill Dunkelberg has given you lots to talk about. I'd like you to respond to some of the points he made from a business perspective that, you know, he's saying that businesses stand to lose money and having to pay people twice, one who's staying home and one who's filling in, that sort of thing. How do you respond to those concerns?
So there is a whole lot to respond to in here. I do want to say that both the report and what you were saying right here is really assuming that workers are going to take all of the time that they earn. What we know from actual experience is that workers who can earn up to 7 days per year end up taking two and a half days on average. Because they really look at this time as a modest insurance policy, something that is there when they become ill or when their children become ill. What we're really talking about is that modest policy. We're talking about a bill that focuses on the needs of families and on their economic security, as well as on the needs of workers. What we've found in San Francisco and in other cities and states that do earn sick days is that very few of them have to hire replacement workers when someone calls out sick, that the forms to fill out, at least here in Philadelphia, are actually non-existent. All we ask is that people keep on record whether or not someone has taken the sick time. And since it's a complaint-driven process, all that it comes down to is if an employee says, okay, I earned sick time and I didn't get it, the employer needs to be able to show whether or not they earned it and whether or not they received it. But there's no specific forms to fill out. There shouldn't be anything different than what a normal payroll system or even an Excel spreadsheet would include. What we also know is that there are a number of businesses who already do provide earned sick days here in Philadelphia and across the country. We can't expect that a business is going to magically know everything exactly right about what is best for that business, just as we don't expect anyone else in the world to magically know exactly what the best thing to do is. You know, it takes some trial and error, and the businesses that we've spoken to, some of them have had concerns, but as we work through the earned sick days bill with them, many of those concerns are alleviated, and we've addressed many of those concerns actually in the legislation that's been introduced and been passed by City Council. So I think that really this is a bill that will help all people in the city of Philadelphia, and it's a bill whose time has come.
Yeah. Bill Dunkelberg, what about that argument that you've got people, perhaps single parents, maybe they're not sick, but their child is sick? You know, people who have, for any number of reasons, literally cannot afford to not go to work. What do you say to those kinds of concerns?
Well, you know, that's always been the case, I guess, and somehow we get through that. Families help, family members help out. You know, if it's a single parent with one child and there's no relatives and no friends, I guess we have, you know, we have an issue there. But again, you know, this worker should go to the owner and say, "Here's my problem, and I need time off." And I can't, you know, I'm sure we can find some mean old person out there who says, "No, if you take time off, you're fired." Kind of, yeah. But you know, those are clearly very rare exceptions. That's not what small business owners do. They work very carefully with their workforce. They know them all. These are small businesses, so it's not like GE, right? I mean, these owners know them. It's like family for a lot of them. They take care of each other. They work together. And that flexibility is really, really very valuable in the workforce. So I don't see that, you know, as going to be a major problem. Hopefully that'll work. It's not one I think we can necessarily take care of legislatively, but we try to do it. Everybody likes to vote for good things, you know, and don't think about the cost of that. We do love to use San Francisco as the example. People go study San Francisco, and I must say I looked at some of the studies done a couple of years ago. They weren't exactly what you call good academic quality studies, that is, careful studies. There's a lot of anecdotal stuff. It's easy to find people who like something and then, you know, use those examples. So just common sense tells you costs are higher. Even if there aren't a lot of forms, there's more. There are more issues. There, you know, and there will be complaints. There will be, and so all of this is happening on top of all the other stuff that we're dumping on small firms. Last year, we had a record number of new rules promulgated in the Federal Register, and of course, you get the state and local regulations on top of that. Holy mackerel! It is one of their major problems. It takes lots of resources to take care of this. So, yeah, you know, it'd be nice if we could solve all these problems. Hey, why not raise the minimum wage to $50 an hour, and then anybody working 2,000 hours makes $100,000. Poverty is cured. Well, you know, obviously, you know, that may sound good, and people may even vote for that because they don't think through what the implications of all that are. So, this is another benefit and another cost, another benefit to the worker, but a cost to the employer. And if you raise the cost of anything, people take less of it. And so it may not happen overnight. You know, it's a transition as you find out, you know, what's going on. And, of course, the restaurant industry is very different from other industries that would be affected by this. So we have to be careful about using that as an example.
Marianne, what do you say?
So, again, there's a lot here to cover. You did mention, of course, that there aren't always family members who are available to help in a time when someone is ill, and that's certainly true, especially when so many people are staying in the workforce for longer. So even when you do have a family member around, you don't always have someone to take care of your child. What we found, actually, is that workers do go to owners when they do need sick time, and certainly there are owners who will work with you. But at the same time, about a quarter of all workers have been threatened with being fired or have actually been fired for taking earned sick days. So this is a much bigger issue than I think many of us are aware of. Certainly when I go out to talk to people about it, the first question I always get is, "You mean there are people who don't earn sick days in their jobs? Well, can't they just take their vacation? Can't they just use this or that?" And usually there is no vacation time. There's no PTO. There's no anything else. Flexibility is incredibly important, and that's why we tried to make this bill as flexible as possible. So if an owner is offering paid time off or is offering vacation time, that you can call in that morning and say, "My child just threw up all over the car. I'm not going to be able to make it today." That's fine. We don't care what you call it. We just want to make sure it's there.
We are talking about the idea of earned paid sick leave here on Radio Times. We're talking about the idea not only in Philadelphia, but in other cities as well. We welcome your calls and your thoughts about it. And Radio Times will be back right after this.
Is your child struggling in school? Supporting WHYY, Delaware Valley Friends, a Quaker College preparatory school in Paoli for students who learn differently. Delaware Valley Friends is committed to providing small classes, individual attention, state-of-the-art technology, and an accredited curriculum and faculty for grades 6 through 12. Open house on Wednesday, April 10th from 9 to 11 a.m. More information about Delaware Valley Friends at dvfs.org. Registration now open for summer reading and writing program.
In her book, God's Hotel, physician Victoria Sweet reflects on her years practicing a kind of slow medicine at the last almshouse in the country. She embraced an older notion of the body as a garden to be tended, not a machine to be fixed. On the next Voices in the Family with Dr. Dan Gottlieb, Sweet explains slow medicine and when it's advantageous for the body and soul. Today at noon, here on WHYY-FM.
PIFA, a Kimmel Center production, supports WHYY. The Philadelphia International Festival of the Arts has begun. Now through April 27th, it's a journey through time with music, dance, and theater performances featuring Rufus Wainwright, Jazz Bridge, Chef Stabe from A Taste of History, and more. Plus a 100-foot time machine. PIFA, lead sponsor TD Bank. Tickets and info at PIFA.org.
And you're listening to Radio Times on WHYY. I'm Tracy Matisak, filling in for Marty Moscow-Wayne. We're talking about the idea of paid sick leave, and you may remember that very recently in Philadelphia, City Council passed a bill approving paid sick leave. Mayor Nutter vetoed that bill just last week, and now Council has until Thursday to override it. But it's not just here in Philadelphia that we've been talking about this idea. Certainly other cities are talking about it. Some have already gotten on board with it, and we are talking about the pros and cons of paid sick leave. To help us do that, we're talking with Marianne Bellasorte, who is Senior Director of Public Policy and Media Relations for Pathways PA. Also with us is Bill Dunkelberg, who is Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. We'd love to hear from you as well. The number to join in our conversation is 888-477-9499. And what do you say we go to Princeton and start off with Andrew? Welcome, Andrew, to Radio Times.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to pitch in. I'm an economics PhD student at the University of Pennsylvania here, and the literature is just very clear that when you increase the cost of employment, for instance, by putting another burden on employers per employee, that it increases the unemployment among those firms. And it not only increases the unemployment among those firms, but increases unemployment among the people that are most vulnerable. So you're normally going to be letting go of the marginal employee, the person that's sort of least valuable, that has the least experience. And that is really the person that society most wants to be participating in the labor market and climbing a career ladder.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. And I want
to sign his PhD thesis. Good job, sir.
Marianne, what do you say about that idea?
So in reality, what we've actually found in studies on earned sick days is that there is no correlation between earned sick days and unemployment. And what's often ignored when looking at the topic of earned sick days is the cost of presenteeism, or people who are coming into work while they're sick. I don't know. I'm sure we've all had to do it at some point. And, you know, you're not at your full productivity and you stay that way for a couple of days. And that actually costs the business more than it does if they allowed someone to go home, get better, and then come back in. It also risks having other people catch whatever is going around. And whether you're in an office setting or if you're in a restaurant setting, a childcare setting, or a healthcare setting where you're working with really vulnerable people, this could be a potentially huge cost for the business and for the clients involved. Hmm. So there is actually a lot of research out there that talks about the cost savings around earned sick days and how it benefits all workers. And I do want to say also that in both San Francisco and in the state of Connecticut, jobs increased after the earned sick days bills were passed there, even during a recession.
Hmm. Bill Dunkelberg, what do you say about that idea, the presenteeism and some of the other concerns that crop up?
Well, no question about it. Some people come to work sick and they pass it around. We've all seen it happen. We have children. We know what the children bring home for us, and we get sick because they bring it home for us. I mean, all those things happen, but I'm not sure that this is going to cure any of that. And you'd have to be really sick, I guess, to decide to stay home, and maybe are you more likely to do that when you have this little bank of days? Well, of course, one suggestion Marianne had was that people really value those, so they don't use them anyway unless they really absolutely have to, in which case you go to your boss and you know, say, I'm sick, I can't make it in. And the boss says, great, don't come in because you'll cost me a lot of money because you'll get everybody else sick, including me, because I'm working with you. So I'm not, you know, there. I mean, people have incentive not to do these kinds of things anyway. So it's not clear that the legislation is going to really be much of a remedy for that. And as was pointed out, again, we're making the cost of employees higher, you know, and that does impact mostly on the marginal workers, on the less skilled workers, and those are the ones you learn how to do without when, in fact, the cost of hiring them gets to be too high. So, you know, those are all interesting kinds of concepts. Those things happen. Measuring them is really hard, but, you know, what the real cost of having workers come to work sick is very difficult to measure, and also deciding whether or not they wouldn't come in is also an impossible thing to measure as well. In terms of employment in San Francisco, first of all, it's a very, very unusual city, hardly typical of any others. Just because, you know, we had somebody do a minimum wage study comparing what happened to raising the minimum wage here and in Pennsylvania and across in New Jersey many years ago, and a study that's been debunked massively by the profession, but it concluded that raising the minimum wage actually increased employment in New Jersey. Hello? You know, well, in that case, let's make it $50 and employment will really go up. I mean, those kinds of studies are not very carefully done. Other things made employment go up in San Francisco, probably an improvement in the economy. So if there's more customers coming in the restaurant, you do hire more people, and it has nothing to do with the sick bill. But this kind of research is, when it's not well done, you know, leads to these kinds of misleading conclusions.
Marianne, what do you say about that?
So when jobs were increasing in San Francisco was actually during the worst years of the recession. And in looking at the counties surrounding San Francisco, they lost, I think, over 100,000 jobs at the same time that San Francisco gained it was a modest number of jobs, but they did gain jobs as everyone else was losing them. And certainly I'm not going to say that they gained jobs because of earned sick days. But earned sick days was one of the laws that was in place at the time, and it did not hurt San Francisco businesses. And again, in Connecticut, their bill has been in place since 2011. Not many people would say that the economy has been that great since that time. And yet both the restaurant industry and all industries as a whole saw increased employment since that time.
Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Wynwood and bring Michael into our conversation. Hi, Michael. Welcome to Radio Times.
Hi, welcome. How are you?
Fine,
thanks.
Thank
you for having my call.
Sure.
I operate a gluten-free bakery out in Wynwood, and being the owner, I have a responsibility to make sure that proper hygiene practices are maintained. And one of the things that I think by this point may have been mentioned is the obligation for, I guess, sending home workers who are visibly sick, in that I can't have them being on the premises, the visibly runny nose, uncontrollable sneezing and coughing. But there's no legal responsibility for me to, I guess, compensate them for that they can travel whatever the time is to get to work, only to find out that I can't have them working there. And it's basically, from a practical standpoint, that doesn't seem to make sense to me. I mean, I'd be a little, I guess, upset that I can't have an employee working, but it seems to me to be a bad philosophy to say that, well, you can get the short end of the stick because of, you know, these laws that are in place that are designed to protect the public health, but that ultimately impact most the transient labor force that earns less than a certain amount of money, that is really the most vulnerable to this sort of bad policy.
Well, Michael, thank you for that. And certainly, Marianne, that's one of the points that you've been making, that oftentimes the people who earn the lowest wages, who most need that money, are the people who don't get it.
That's exactly right. So many of the times the people who don't have earned sick days are earning low wages, and they're in a position where they can't afford not to work. So they may come in sick, and I think it's really great that at Michael's Bakery, he does look and make sure that people are able to go home And I hope that he does look at some form of compensation in the future. But we've talked to many people, especially in the restaurant industry, who have gone in visibly sick, who have gone in with pneumonia, who have gone in with a cold, and who have served very prominent people. We've also spoken to a man named Michael who cut his hand while slicing tomatoes, was told that, no, you can't leave to go to the hospital until your shift is done, and had to go and get stitches 3 hours later when his shift was complete. Mm-hmm. So this is, it's something that happens, and it's something that we need to make sure that we're able to deal with it, because it's in everyone's interest that workers are able to earn enough to support themselves and their families.
Yeah. We'll go back to the phones to West Oak Lane and Yvette. Welcome, Yvette, to Radio Times. Yvette, are you with us?
Hi. Yes, I am. I just wanted to make the point that I think either way that there is a loss to the employee, there's a cost to the employee, to the employer. Either you lose that good employee who is now fearful that they're going to lose their job when they take off days, or you have a good employee that you set off a ripple effect in their lives when they can't pay their rent when they're out sick for a week, even if it's approved, if they're out for a week or more. If they don't have a paycheck, now they may lose their apartment, or they may not be able to pay for daycare, so now they don't have anywhere to send their children. So for people who don't have a good income, first of all, who really can't afford to go without pay, I mean, even if you approve the leave time and say, okay, go ahead and take care of yourself, if there's no income, now you've set off a ripple effect in their lives that they may not be able to rebound from. And I implore anybody out there who gets sick time to think about what their paycheck would look like if they didn't get paid for sick days. I mean, if I missed 3 days because I was sick or my son was sick and my paycheck was cut by a third, I mean, could I really survive? I mean, so I think we really have to think about the safety net of those most vulnerable people, to not even say spreading illness is an issue, which it is. But do you now take a good, faithful employee who, by no fault of their own, is sick or their child is sick, who now you've thrown their entire lives into a situation where they may not be able to recover?
Well, Yvette, thank you for your call. I'm going to ask Bill Dunkelberg to address your concern. And along those lines, Bill, I was reading that there are those who would go so far as to say that paid sick leave is a basic human right. They would even say that. How would you respond to Yvette's concerns?
Well, you know, first of all, if it's a basic human right, you know, I don't know where we define those. There's just no end to the amount of stuff that people would like to have benefits for. They want higher wages. They want days off. They want vacation time. They want contributions to their 401ks. Right? I don't know. So, you know, we're certainly in an environment now where. You know, the warnings of our founding fathers, which were, you know, once people learn they can vote themselves benefits and vote themselves money, the republic is lost. And there we go. I don't think it's a right. Some people say you have a right to a job. Well, we've tried societies where everybody's forced to work in a socialist environment, and I don't think that works out too well. There's no evidence that any of those have ever done very well. So, I mean, she's talking about an unfortunate case where, you know, somebody's life is disrupted, and that happens, you know, all the time. As I pointed out, you know, last year, 750,000 firms went out of business. How about that for job disruption? And they went out of business because they didn't make enough money to stay in business and support the job, the employees that they had, and pay the rent and so on. And so we just keep piling things on, like this mandate. We have all these mandates and all these taxes, which make it harder and harder for these small businesses to survive and provide jobs. And they're the ones that provide the jobs. So, you know, will bad things happen, like the gentleman who cut his hand and the mean boss wouldn't let him go? Well, yeah, I guess that's going to happen, but I don't think we can legislate those kinds of things away. The boss would be unhappy if he obviously needed him there or thought he needed him there, and he'd be unhappy whether he had a paid sick day accrued or not. So, you know, we're really myopic when we think we can kind of solve all of these these kind of problems and, you know, the personal problems of individuals by legislating these kinds of mandates. Doesn't work.
Marianne?
So I think it's important to remember that it's harder and harder for workers to survive out there right now as well. There are far more workers who are struggling to make ends meet every day. We know that through studies that we've done through Pathways PA and, of course, through many other studies that we see all the time. And as it gets harder and harder, it makes sense to have a modest minimum standard for workers, something that does save jobs, that does bring income into the community, and that makes sure that everyone is able to benefit and increase public health at the same time.
What would you say to Bill's comments about the difficulty for employers, just, you know, the added costs that that they're dealing with, the firms that have had to go out of business because they could not support the employees that they had, and now potentially looking at some additional legislation? How do you respond to those concerns of business owners, particularly small business?
So what we've seen in earned sick days across the country, in looking at it in real life as well as in studies, is that while there may be small upfront costs to businesses for providing earned sick days, it does come back to them in the form of reduced turnover and increased productivity. There's the restaurant El Fuego right here in the city, not far from WHYY, actually. They offer earned sick days there, and their turnover has been minimal to zero since they began their earned sick days policy. And this is several years ago. I don't mean they just started it last month. And because of that, they're able to, of course, keep their employment costs down, but also keep their food costs down, because everyone knows how much food goes into the burrito. You're able better to kind of look ahead and plan out how much you need to order for a given day or week. Mm-hmm. And so it really has a lot of benefits for the employer across the board.
I want to ask both of you, because we are just about out of time, very, very quickly, where do you think we're going with this? What do you think is going to happen Thursday?
So we are talking with council members as I speak. We also know that there are many phone calls going into council members. Over 200 a day right now are going into the many council members who we're speaking to. I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to move forward on this
year. Very quickly, Bill Dunkelberg.
Well, it's a union town. The unions are behind it. It wouldn't surprise me if they overrode the mayor's very wise veto.
I want to thank both of our guests for being with us. Marianne Bellasorte from Pathways PA, thank you for being with us on Radio Times.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Bill Dunkelberg from the National Federation of Independent Business. Thank you for being on Radio Times. Good to see you as well. Our producers have been Patty McMahon, Debbie Builder, Susan Greenbaum, and Emily Bryant. And I'm Tracy Matisak, filling in for Marty Moscow-Wayne.